It's time for a deep dive on University of Portland basketball.
This is home for me, and so to be able to take on this challenge and bring the city in with the rest of the UP family, I'm very excited about that.
The inside story on the Pilots.
In order for us to get to where we want to go, we want to always make sure we protect our home court. We want to compete. We want to play harder than our opponent. We want to play together. Last thing, guys, let's enjoy the moment.
This is the Terry Porter Show, brought to you on 910 ESPN Portland by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, by U.S. Bank, Coca-Cola, by Nike, Alaska Airlines, GEICO, by AAA Oregon, and by Orthopedic Plus Fracture Specialists. Now here's the voice of the Pilots, Jason Swigard.
Alongside head coach Terry Porter, welcome on in as the Pilots are red hot and rolling, as somebody used to say. Five-game winning streak, 6-1 on the season, a couple more games coming up this week. December gets very busy, but all in all, got to be pretty pleased with how things have gone to start the season, other than a spate of injuries.
Yeah, I've been very pleased at how our guys have come out in this early part of the season. And whenever you get a lot of new faces and try to merge them in with the guys returning, sometimes you never know how quickly they will kick in and merge together. And I thought our guys up to this point have done a really good job with everything we've tried to teach them in regards to offensively and defensively what we want to try to get out of it. So I've been very pleased, but we know that there's be more challenges ahead, that's for sure. But pleased so far with their efforts, and like anything, you're pleased with the effort results in wins. And you get a chance to, you know, go back and have film and relay and reflect back on those situations that you have in those early parts of your season.
Well, plenty of time for comments and questions for Coach, 877-535-9100. I know a lot of people, it was fun Sunday there with the doubleheader and the women playing right before us. Unfortunately, they've been hit by the injury bug too and had a chance to win at regulation against Loyola and got to overtime and ran out of gas and bodies there towards the end. But they are having a quality start for Coach Meek in the first half, but got a chance to talk to a lot of fans, and there's just a buzz. There's an excitement. I think they're still wanting to see how things shake out. But in terms of what they've seen so far, and not only the results, but how they've seen the team interact with one another, the bench is up and into it. Everybody's pulling for one another. The excitement that was maybe missing at times last season is back, and everybody's ready to help buoy and, you know, help this team take that next step.
Well, yeah, I think he's done a great job, him and his staff. I think, like you said, the team has really, rallied around what his teaching is at both ends of the floor. And always unfortunate to have the injuries when you do, because you want to try to build some momentum and get some sense of who's in the rotation and get guys and gals to play together and, have some camaraderie and understand and build some trust. I think that's so important in the early starts before conference play starts. So I'm sure he's anxious, very anxious to try to get his players back and forgive him, get on the floor, and more importantly, get some game time together so they can kind of, build a system and a trust that's going to be needed through the challenges of a conference season.
Well, you're going to have a lot of opportunities for the men here as December cranks up from yesterday, a span of 24 days, 9 games that are going to be played overall. And so plenty of opportunity for these guys to work and gel and fight through some adversity. They had to fight off a holiday hangover a little bit yesterday. They had turkey legs there.
5-pound turkey legs.
So we'll talk about the game against Incarnate Word here in a moment. We're going to look ahead. We mentioned 2 games this week. Wednesday, Cal State Northridge comes to the Child Center, and then Saturday we're up to take on Seattle University. And as opposed to a lot of the teams that we faced already this season, kind of unfamiliar or hadn't faced them in a long time, these are two teams faced fairly recently, had your share of luck against Cal State Northridge, have had some difficulties against Seattle U, but when you're preparing for non-conference teams that you have recent familiarity with, it almost becomes like preparing for a conference team. You look at the rosters, there's a lot of familiarity, a lot of carryover. Coaches are the same. Should help I'm assuming it helps the game prep and the scouting go a lot smoother. You're able to really get down to some nitty gritty with them.
Well, you're able to, use some stuff you saw last year as well. So you can go back and watch film and talk about stats and how that all played out. Obviously, some of the players on the roster has changed for us. But all in all, when you have the same coaches, the same philosophy for the most part is going to be in place. So now you talk about trying to look at areas of the game where you didn't have as much success as you would like and try to make sure how you can tweak those and how can you change that to make sure that, you get a better chance to have a chance for success. And so for both of those teams, I think both of them are teams that have good size, they have good scoring on the perimeter, and have some chances to score inside. So it's going to be a good test for us in regards to us coming out and just being ready for, the CSUN team may be the most athletic team we faced since SC and got, their guard player is really solid, so we got to really be ready up for that challenge. Gomez, I think, has averaged 30 points the last three games, so he is a scoring machine and a bucket getter. That's what he is. And so we got to make sure we do a good job on him, make sure everything he gets is difficult, nothing easy for him. And then Seattle is just going to be a team. That coach has been there for a while. They're going to play hard. They got some local regional kids that always want to have a chance to have bragging rights and beat us. So we gotta step up. We haven't beat them yet, and hopefully we can get a chance to, put that on our resume.
We'll talk a little bit more about those two games coming up again. 877-535-9100. We'd love to hear from you if you've got a question or a comment for Coach. Also, earlier today, 11 a.m., what individual tickets were left for Gonzaga went on sale. I'm waiting to hear if they're sold out. I would imagine if not, there are only a few individual seats up on the sides and the rafters. So, but if you are interested, haven't got your tickets yet, didn't get win on the mini packs, 503-943-GO-UP. You can call or text them or go online, portlandpilots.com/tickets. That's how the conference season will begin January 2nd. So once we get back from Hawaii, a week there to rest up and prepare Gonzaga, an opportunity to see them take on Oregon out there in that tournament battle for Atlantis. They took them to overtime and then got done in by a Michigan team, unranked. And then the AP poll comes out today. They're fourth.
Wow.
Juwan Howard in his first year. Did you play with Juwan at any point?
Probably played against him. I think when he went from, trying to think when he was at Washington, and then he was supposed to go to Miami, then he ended up going back to Washington or something. I think at some point I played against him. I definitely coached against him, but yeah, I played against him. Good, talented, big guy that could face the basket, had a good sense of, the game, and obviously been around a lot of good teams, and obviously the Miami Heat organization was a unbelievable organization, championship caliber organization. So he got the chance to be around our alumni, Eric, but also around a great mind, a basketball mind, and Pat Riley in that organization. So he's learned a lot. I'm sure he's learned a lot. And these guys have really bought in early to what his teaching is and gotten that Michigan team back to maintain a certain level that the previous coach, Boeheim's, kind of set up before he went to Cleveland.
And so, yeah, we're seeing him, Aaron McKee, going back to Temple. Mm-hmm. And then Jerry Stackhouse took the job at Vanderbilt. Yeah. So these guys who, I've seen from being college players in their NBA careers now going back, when you decided to go that route after playing for so long, what's the biggest adjustment for going from, especially players that had long, productive professional careers, mm-hmm. or big-time college careers, what's the most difficult adjustment from the player mentality to the coach's mentality that you have to maybe fight against?
Well, I mean, I think the first thing from a player to coach is just the time you have to prep, the film you have to watch. When you get done watching film, obviously getting on the court, doing some individual skill stuff with the players. I mean, those things are huge when you talk about coming from a professional basketball player to now, you got done playing with practice, you're pretty much done. You don't have to go up and watch any film on your next opponent, your next scout. And so that's a big time difference in regards to making that adjustment from a player to a coach. And obviously when you go from a professional coach to a collegiate coach, now you're talking about a whole lot of other things in regards to recruitment, academics, obviously trying to instill in some young men the qualities of that they can take on, life lessons. And so it's a lot more things to navigate and a lot more things on your plate that you have to, try to make sure that you bring in kids with the right character and kids that can help you continue to build your program the right way.
And so, yeah, it's been interesting to watch all these guys that, I'm at an age where I remember, them being these high school phenoms coming up and those sorts of things. So it's interesting to watch them now go back and impart and how they have success, how they adjust, how they see the game differently after spending all that time playing basketball. And sometimes, when you see, we saw Magic Johnson have a hard time when he tried to be the head coach and there's some guys that just get it. And then, but to be able to impart the wisdom or to have them see the same things that he did, especially for elite players that are so special. So the guys that do have success doing it, it's a really special thing when they do.
It is. And like you said, it's very, it's always difficult for someone of that stature, Larry Bird as well, who went into coaching, to try to have players that have the same type of basketball IQ that you have and have the same type of work ethic and desire to want to be great. Those two guys, you mentioned will go down as, two of the best competitors the game's ever had, along with just being championships, the championships they brought to those organizations. So to try to instill that to the players in today's game is always a challenge. Some of that they have to be built with and want to be great and want to be pushed and want to be coached and have an inner drive that make them want to bring some guys with them and get guys all on the same page. And when you don't have that, it becomes, I would think, very frustrating for them.
Is that the hardest part in evaluating players? I mean, you can measure them, you can see them in person, how high they can jump, how fast they are. You can look at the stats and stuff, but finding out what's going on up in the head, between the ears and in the heart, is that the hardest part? Especially, it's one thing, Michigan's and Oregon's and Gonzaga's sometimes, if they're getting 4 or 5 stars, but in the West Coast Conference, going and finding the guys that either got overlooked or whatever and evaluating the intangibles for them.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head. The most challenging part is the things you can't see. You can see if someone can jump really hard, somebody's really fast, right? If you can see if their physical presence is separating them from the next group of guys. But the intangibles, how good do they want to be? What kind of work ethic do they have? Are they really workers? Do they have great passion for the game? Do they really want to play? Do they want to get better? Do they just want to, get to college, get their scholarship, and kind of just float by? And I think that average players don't want to be coached. They just want to kind of stand in the background and just slide by and be happy. And I think, average players, they want to be coached a little bit, because they want to, be getting minutes and do that whole thing and get recognized for being a player in the rotation. And then great players, they want to be coached every day on every possession because they want to be great. They want to have a legacy that is different from everybody else's. And so it's hard sometimes to try to see that in an AAU circuit event. And then even when you come on a visit, to kind of get that sense. Because a lot of times when kids come on visits, you're not playing 5-on-5. You may be shooting or something like that. And you have to, based on your assistant information that they may have a conversation with their coach, AAU coach, high school coach, or anybody who's been important to help develop their basketball skill set, you have to rely on those guys along with your own and trying to come up with a good enough eval that you can say, okay, you know what? He's worth a scholarship.
Well, and the group this year has taken to all the coaching and all the changes that have gone on, off to a 6-1 start, riding a 5-game winning streak. We'll take a break when we come back. We'll get into the victory over Incarnate Word Sunday night. Maybe a little more challenging than people had expected or at least the players did. I think the coaches, you guys knew what all the potential was with the week that was leading up to it. But again, another big finish from the guys to increase the winning streak to 5. We'd love to hear from you, 877-535-9100. If you got a question or a comment for Coach, we'll take a break and come right back here. This is the Terry Porter Coaches Show on 910 ESPN Portland.
Adams on the right side of the floor starting the offense. Cross court JoJo. He'll wind up a big three and drill another one. JoJo feeling it. Gives the Pilots the lead back. 36-34, his third three of the game.
The inside story on Portland Pilots basketball. This is the Terry Porter Show on 910 ESPN Portland. Here again is Jason Swigard.
All right, welcome back in here with Head Coach Terry Porter on our Coach's Show. We've got one more of these this year, next Monday. And then after that, we'll have a game on the 16th. Yeah. We'll be in Hawaii on the 22nd for another game, and then we're off for the holidays. So just a couple more this year, and then we'll pick it up when conference play starts in January. But before we get to breaking down the win over Incarnate Word Sunday, 65-56, our buddy Tim from Gresham joining us again. Hey, Tim, how you doing on this Monday night?
Yeah, I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great,
doing
Tim.
Well.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Oh, you bet. Hey, Coach, congratulations on the win against Incarnate Word.
Thank you.
And I just got to say, you know, after the adversity, that string of adversity last year, I mean, life has got to be just a little bit easier and just feeling good riding a streak like this, isn't it, compared to last year?
Well, yeah, I don't think anybody had experienced what we went through last year. And so this year definitely makes it easier. And like anything, you know, when you talk about having and coming back from a year like last year, you need early success to get the players to continue to buy in and believe that what you're teaching is going to result in positive, results. Mm-hmm. And so I think our guys have really done that. And again, I go back to our grad transfers who really helped their maturity, their experiences really helped in the locker room, and just guys who also are returning, JoJo and Hugh and Dee and Malcolm, all have been great in regards to just the overall morale and the team chemistry.
No, that's very much an evidence, and credit to all you guys for what you've earned. Just a couple of quick questions. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to know about the status of Taki Ferenson for the upcoming game. And my other question was, I'm loving the way that you're consistently shooting well and dropping those threes. It's impressive because it's not just coming from one or two guys. You've got several guys that step up and can do that. But you know, the one challenge, or the biggest challenge I see, of course, is, you know, being out-rebounded by Incarnate Word on the offensive boards. Like, they got 17 boards. That's got to be, you know, a concern spot going forward as you face a big team like Gonzaga. I mean, something's got to shake out there. And just wondering what you're working on in particular, or any thoughts about that, Coach?
Yeah, so let's tackle the latter in regards to rebounding. And obviously that's something that, playing with a smaller lineup, that's something that's really kind of reared its ugly head in regards to our ability not to close out possessions. And, you know, we did spend some time looking at those 17, 18 offensive rebounds that we gave up and talked our guys through it. And it is a concern, and we have to do a better job going forward because we know the size and athleticism is going to get better going forward. And so we just have to continue to strive to get better at that, make the proper corrections on a day-to-day basis, and then, show some improvement. We have shown some improvement in certain situations. I think our defense has gotten better. I mean, that second half, mm-hmm. I think they shot 30% from the field and 20 from three. But like you said, the rebound, giving them 17 offensive rebounds is a concern, and what kept them in the game. And so in regards to that. So, and I look, our 3-point shooting, I think, you know, we're very pleased with that. I think because of our offense and because the way we're sharing the basketball and moving the ball, that's the reason we have multiple guys getting the opportunity to get some good looks, and they're shooting them at a pretty high clip. I don't know if we can continue to shoot a couple guys shooting 50%. I don't know if we're going to knock on wood. I hope we continue to shoot that. But I'm more, as coaches, we're more concerned at the quality of shots. And for the most part, most of them are good wide open shots off of penetration, off a double team, off of something as opposed to just coming down and pulling up. And we feel and we do enough shooting and they do enough shooting on their own that if we consistently get those type of looks, we will consistently knock down a pretty good percentage that's going to, you know, make it difficult for our opponents to try to lock in on one particular guy.
Right. Well, yeah, I think you said it. The defense, it appeared that it was night and day in the second half. You really did clamp down. And, you know, the one thing also I enjoyed was I think a lot of us were probably waiting for Isaiah White to break out, and it's shot was just not going in, but you know, about 6 minutes left, he took that step back three and just planted it, and then he followed with a block shot and a dunk, and I think that really seemed like that turned the corner and was a major part in helping you guys move away. So enjoyed that, and I'm enjoying everything I'm seeing from you guys, coach, and been looking for more great things this Wednesday against Northridge.
All right. Thank you for the call, Tim. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Tim.
All right. Take care, guys. Yep. Bye.
All righty. There's Tim at Gresham. We got 877-535-9100. And as we get into that Incarnate Word game, the defense really did clamp down in the second half. The Cardinals shot 26.7%. They were just 2 of 11 from three-point range. And the Pilots outscored the Cardinals 20-7 over the last 10 minutes again. In the win streak, if there's one thing that has been consistent, we pointed that out last week. I went back and looked in the final 10 minutes, and you were outscoring teams as like 25-17 over the last 10 minutes, 20-7 here. That will continue. So as long as, you know, things you're hanging around with teams down four, it was 49-45 Incarnate Word at the 10-minute mark, and then 65-56 the final there. And so all of those things, Isaiah White finding his offense, helping that out. But the defense, it really was the defense that cranked up. And especially guys logging so many minutes, what were you able to do to convince them to find Digger deep in the tank? I think that's sometimes the toughest part is guys think they're always playing hard. And it's up to the coaches to maybe say, you've got more in you. It's going to take more to get this victory.
Yeah, I think in the first half, what happened, especially with their shooters, we lost those guys a couple of times, and they were able to get a good rhythm and knock down some shots. I think in the second half, did a much better job on their shooters, and we did a much better job overall just making sure most of their shots was contested. I think they went like 5 or 6 straight minutes without a field goal, and it was just us turning up our intensity and locking in to the scout a little bit more and not giving those guys the type of easy looks they got in the first half. And then for us offensively, we moved the ball a little bit better. Isaiah, I thought, attacked it a little bit more to the rim. I think in the first half, he settled a little bit more than we would have liked for him to do. We wanted him to have a good mixture of shooting threes, but also a good mixture of driving to the rim because he is such a good finisher, and he has the ability to finish over people. And I think, like you said, you missed that. You talked about that little stretch. He got 3 big blocks for us in the second half, I think. And then he also got that dunk, I think, from Malcolm penetrating and giving it to him. And then he shot that step back, as Tim said, like an ISO situation up top. And it kind of gave him some extra juice and some life. And so that was good to see. But, no, all in all, we had other guys have to step up and make plays and lead us in scoring. But he did some intangible things. And we're just locking in on just, okay, I got to continue to score. He didn't look to force anything. He still played within the team system, and that's always good to see that.
Jojo Walker, 15 points, shared the team lead for points with Malcolm, but coming off the back spasms, good to see him out there. Hit a couple of threes early. Looked like he was into it. Any residual issues with the back after that game? Is he seemed to bounce back okay today, and nothing. I mean, obviously, yeah, once you get back spasms, you always got to keep an eye on it. But
correct, yeah, he didn't have any setbacks from after the game. He felt good during the game, and we were constantly asking him because we didn't want to go really long if he felt anything. So, Amy and her staff was talking to him as well at timeouts and when he came out, and we tried to keep the back warm as much as we can, but he felt good. Nothing like a couple of shots to go down and make your whole body feel nice and loose and warm. And so he was able to get some good shots, and he made a couple good drives. And I was kind of concerned with that one drive in the second half when he drove it and fell down, because you always know falling on that floor, you don't know how his back's going to react. But no, he bounced back good. No issues today. And so we just have to try to be cautious, watch it, make sure we maintain and stay on top of his treatments, and hopefully we won't have any issues going forward.
And Malcolm had another just great game, just filling up a stat sheet, 15 points, a couple of boards, two assists, a steal, took two or three charges in the game, and a physical presence. And again, as you've had to play small, he's been one of the guys that's had to play bigger than his position. Normally he'd be playing, you know, two, maybe a little bit of three, but he's had to play some four at some points. And I'm sure you had to play. Didn't you play four in college?
I played four in college. Yeah, I played.
You're teaching him all your tricks.
I'm teaching him all my tricks. Yeah. No, he's done a good job. Look, I'm excited for him, obviously, as the coach, but also as a dad. The way he just plays basketball. He just does all the things that needs to be doing in regards to winning, taking the charges. I think that helps our teams. And our team has been great this year. That's something we've always talked about. We've averaged about three or four charges a game this year, and it's been huge for in regards to turnarounds and momentum swifts for us. And then he's knocked down some threes when he needs to. He's made some good passes. But everybody is ball bought into. It's we, not I, and everybody's contributing. The ball is moving, popping. Again, that stems for us making shots, but also making the right plays. And Chase and Quincy are doing a good job running the show when they're at the point guard. And, you know, playing small sometimes it does give us some challenges on the boards. And like you said, Malcolm sometimes is guarding somebody bigger and stronger. But, he's not afraid to get in there and mix it up. He's used to banging with his big bruh, Franklin, who beat up on him all the time, and his uncle. So he's done a good job. And so we're going to need not just him but everybody, our bigs, to continue to try to get better in that area, because that's a concern going forward.
Well, and then what do you do? You know, I know everybody's doing rebounding drills and those sorts of things, but as far as showing them in the film study or getting the mentality out there, especially when you're dealing with a lot of guards, it's you know, a lot of times it's not natural for them as it is for bigs to kind of slide in the paint and move your body, get in position. What's the key for smaller guys to be really good rebounders? You played with one of the best in Clyde, who was one of the best rebounding guards in the NBA.
Well, Clyde was one of the most athletic and had a great vertical. I don't think many of our guys have that vertical, but I think our guys, and within Cardinal Word, we were in position a lot of the times, you know, long jumpers, long rebounds. And a couple of times we kind of got caught going too far in the paint. And then the ball would fly over and we'd get a hand on it. And then it'd flare, would fly this way. Then it'd go into their hands. And there were some rebounds where we felt that we just didn't do a good enough job of sustaining our box out. And that's maintaining contact throughout the whole possession and allowing those guys to get some type of angle that allowed them to put their hands on it. And a couple of times we have to be stronger with the ball, but those are little technique things that we try to show them in film, and then we work on in practice as well. Going and get it off the boards, being ball strong, having guys try to strip it away and having guys hold it and squeeze it and chin it, as we like to say. And then guards, you know, trying to get them to, you know, come back, look at their guys who they're guarding, see if those guys are going to try to come in for rebounds, and then try to kind of gauge where that ball is going to come off on, if it's going to reject and go further out over our heads, to try to gauge that and try to make sure we're in position to chase them down.
Pilots get the victory, 65-56, extend that winning streak to five games, looking for a six-game winning streak. It's been over a decade since the Pilots enjoyed a six-game winning streak. Jason Breaux told me after after the victory there on Sunday night. So, and an opportunity. We joked about this. did you think you're going to be able to equal last year's win total by December 4th? You got that opportunity coming up on Wednesday. When we come back, we'll get an update, one, on those Gonzaga tickets, as we've got an update from the ticket office for you. A little bit about some of the other things coming up here this week, and then look ahead to the two games Wednesday against Cal State Northridge, Saturday at Seattle U against the Redhawks, a couple of opponents the Pilots have faced over the last couple of years, and an opportunity to keep this winning streak going. As we'll take you up to the top of the hour here with head coach Terry Porter on the Terry Porter Coaches Show here on 910 ESPN Portland.
They throw back Van Vlera, leaves it for Willis in the corner. Malcolm can't keep him in front of him. Isaiah White, another block coming from the weak side. His third block shot tonight. Quincy push it forward. Malcolm gets to the lane. Leave it for White for the two-handed flush.
You're listening to the Terry Porter Show on 910 ESPN Portland. With the coach, here's your host, Jason Swigart.
Back here with head coach Terry Porter, taking you up to the top of the hour as the Pilots get set for a busy week. Games Wednesday night at the Chiles Center against Cal State Northridge, and then Saturday we'll take the bus up to Seattle, taking on Seattle U, who's got to play this year at the Showwear Center in Kent. As their regular digs at Key Arena still undergoing renovations for the NHL team that's coming in. I think they still got two more seasons. After it's a while.
Wow.
It's not next season, it's the season following after season. That so they got a lot of work to do on Key Arena. So when the Redbirds aren't playing on, or the Redhawks aren't playing on campus, they're down at the Showwear Center where the Thunderbirds play hockey there. So that'll be an interesting venue. Good thing we're getting a practice on Friday and then a shoot around Saturday. We'll have to take a look at that barn and see.
Yeah.
When you go in venues like that, sometimes you do that in tournaments where you're in a convention hall or something that's not a traditional basketball arena. How long does it usually take to get used to your environment?
Well, I mean, again, I don't have much experience with that at the college level. For us, we didn't have many of those type of venues. But I think for our guys, it's just trying to get, like you say, trying to have them have an opportunity to get on the floor maybe the day before or shoot around so they can get their lines of the court, especially if you're in the ballroom, because that's kind of different, or the perception, the depth perception is different. But you just got to try to get them just to see acclimated to the surroundings. And, you know, I've played in some Superdomes, and that's really different when you start talking about playing in – you know, Detroit, when they played in the Superdome.
Did you play in the Kingdom? Where the Sonics?
Kingdom.
I remember the Tacoma Dome years.
Tacoma Dome. I think I played in the Kingdom as well, once or twice. But all that, you talk about all the space.
Yeah.
It just takes a while to get accustomed to that. I don't know if you ever do with the depth perception and everything. But no, it's different. I mean, it's a little adjustment. But hopefully our guys can make the adjustments that they need to make.
Well, tickets are on sale for that game against Cal State Northridge on Wednesday, and we got word there are a few hundred tickets left for the Gonzaga game. PortlandPilots.com/tickets. That's your best option to ensure a seat. It's not a sellout yet, but only a few hundred remain. So if you want to see us take on Goliath there, that'll be Thursday, January the 2nd. We're going to get them one year. We're going to get them
with us.
We're going to get them one year, and you want to be there when that happens. And so that's the latest. And then home games after finals week. Where did our schedule go? There our schedule went. So then after this week, it's finals for the guys. Mm-hmm. And then Friday, December 13th against Evergreen State. Monday, December 16th, Florida A&M comes back. And Thursday, December the 19th, Jackson State. All three of those at the Chiles Center, building up some momentum. We leave the next day for Hawaii. And then the Diamond Head Classic will have Houston on the 22nd. That'll be a Sunday. Monday, December 23rd, we'll play either Georgia Tech or Boise State, which has all sorts of interesting storylines, no matter who we play. And then on Christmas Day, We'll see who's there from the other side of the bracket. You've got Hawaii, Washington, UTEP, and Ball State. So that will be a really good test for this team. With all the momentum that they're building up, they'll go see where they're at that Hawaii tournament and get you ready for a daunting start to the conference schedule. Yeah. Gonzaga, San Francisco, and BYU. And did you upset someone at the conference?
I guess so. Maybe they just thought that we were going to get off to a good start, and they really wanted to kind of give us some front load us a little bit with some challenges. But no, it's going to be those three teams you mentioned are really good, off to a good start this year. And you know that they're always a tough program, and they're going to be a tough task for our team.
And so as you're working through now, finals week is always an interesting week because you do need to let the guys have an opportunity to go take – they got to take care of that. Mm-hmm. That has important ramifications and yes. And as well making sure they take care of everything so you don't have any surprises in the second semester and working around those schedules because the final schedules are different from regular class schedules sometimes. Mm-hmm. How do you start working, planning ahead for that now so you can take advantage of whatever time you do have?
Well, we have to get their schedule, and then we try to make sure we have a practice time that allows them to get on the floor but also gives them time on the back end to go study. And we try to lean on them a little bit to do some additional shooting and stuff if they feel comfortable with where they're at with regards to preparation for their finals, and try to give them do some additional, just – maintaining their skill set and even meeting coaches, maybe watching some film, staying sharp that way, or getting out on the floor, getting up extra shots.
And of course, also, you know, sometimes the toughest part is the mental, where finals can consume them, either, you know, classes that are difficult or classes maybe they're struggling with and those sorts of things. It's almost more the mental, making sure that they don't get consumed by that itself, but that they're given all the opportunity and all the support. And I know Glenna and her staff does a great job giving the support to those guys so they feel as confident going into those classrooms as they do on the court.
You hit it right on the head. Glenna and her staff does a great job of, you know, really trying to prep these guys, not just when they come, but weeks before as they try to pick up what the syllabus says and what material they need to make sure they have a pretty good, strong grasp on how to each subject matter in each class. So I think that, guys are getting the time up in study hall and studying, prepping if they need to prep. And again, Glenna and her staff are always on the guys with their weekly meetings, seeing where they're at and making sure that the guys feel comfortable where they're at as well. And going from there, we do check in with those guys and ask them, hey, got any concerns, anything we need to help you with? You need a tutor for your finals. And so I feel good with, the staff and Glenna and her staff and then the upperclassmen and the guys who have been around really talk through those situations and make sure the guys feel as comfortable as they can under the circumstances of getting ready for the finals.
Well, they'll get there, but they've got a couple of games beforehand. We'll take our final break. When we come back, we'll get into Cal State Northridge as well as Seattle U. A couple of teams pretty familiar with rosters, look fairly familiar to the ones that we saw last season. And so we'll see if we can keep this winning streak rolling as we wrap up the hour here with head coach Terry Porter. This is the Terry Porter Coaches Show on 910 ESPN Portland.
Seconds to go. Pilots got to be careful not to foul. They want that clock to run. Defend the three. Willis has it between the circles. Valentine lost it. Malcolm Porter picks it up. He's all alone out front. He'll lay it up and in, and that'll do it.
The inside story on Portland Pilots basketball. This is the Terry Porter Show on 910 ESPN Portland. Here again is Jason Swigard.
Back here with head coach Terry Porter, wrapping up the hour, looking ahead to two games this week. Wednesday night at the Child Center, the Cal State Northridge Matadors in for a 7 o'clock tip. Tickets available at the box office, 503-943-GO-UP or portlandpilots.com/tickets. And then Saturday, Back on the bus. Nice. It's just a bus trip.
Just a bus trip.
Easy drive up I-5 there, and we'll take on Seattle U on Saturday night. The Redhawks are 4-5, a little sluggish start this season. Cal State Northridge just got their first victory against Fresno State. Now, they have been road warriors. They have been grinding it out. They opened at Oregon State. Their only home game before Fresno on Sunday was Pepperdine. That was a reasonable loss, but they've been at Auburn, at Richmond, and so they've had a tough go of it, and they've been playing without one of their best players who gave us all we could handle last season, and Lamine Jene. He's been out with an injury, so maybe we'll catch a break.
Yeah, let's hope
when they come.
But
they still got a lot of offense with Terrell Gomez and Darius Brown, who played last year. That game, Portland, we came back late, 80-77, after falling behind by 18 early in the second half. And again, that was a game where it was defensive plays being made late, and finally the shooting started to come around. As it was, JoJo had 23 in that game, 6 of 8 from 3-point land. That was one of those games where he just kind of got it going and fed off of it. And then the offense, then that one seemed to pick the defense up in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, you like it to have it the other way around. You like the defense to pick the offense up, get some easy basket. But no, JoJo got hot and guys started finding him. And then I remember our bigs came in the second half and played well together. I think tandem of D and Hugh really played well down the stretch and made some plays at the rim and interior to kind of get those guys on their heels, and was able to get us in the penalty, the bonus, and just kind of, again, the momentum happened with our offense, guys making shots all of a sudden, as because we struggled to make shots early in that game, which allowed them to build up that big lead, and we just slowly creep back in it. Guys seeing shots, confidence being built, getting stops at the defensive end, getting back out and scoring, and just put the heat on them a little bit for them to continue to try to score, and they couldn't score. And so it became a very good win for us in regards to a road win that we were down big points. And so it's great for the guys to, you know, show some great resilience during that time and come out with that victory.
Yeah, D and Hugh combined for 21 points and 12 rebounds in that game, shooting 10 of 20 from the floor. So certainly some things to go back and look at the success. And it's nice in a game where you've got, okay, we struggled early on. Here's what we didn't do well. Mm-hmm. Come back. Here's what we did do well. I think that will help in the scout and the guys to see, okay, when we did this, things worked. And when we were whether it was effort or whether it wasn't paying attention to the scout or the discipline of however the defense and handing guys off worked, it's always easier when they can visualize it and see, oh, yeah, now I remember.
Yeah, and we also talk, you know, shot selection, how are we making decisions with the ball, what are we seeing, what's our turnovers, because I think that game we had some turnovers that really hurt us, allowed them to get out in open court, allowed them to get some easy baskets, but now, all in all, I think, for us, it was about just guys starting to make shots more than anything. And that's something that we've done all year this year. And we're going to continue to have the ability to knock down shots and timely shots on stretches of games where we need them. And then, rely on our defense to kind of close things out for us.
Yeah, in Cal State's most recent victory, Terrell Gomez had 31, 7 of 14 from three-point range. They got 14 from Darius Brown, 14 from Lance Coleman off the bench. They're having to play Ron Artest the third. And so he's starting in place of Jene until they're able to get him back. And then Sunday, it's going to be Seattle U team. And while the Pilots have won their last two games against Cal State Northridge 3 years ago at the Wooden Legacy, yep, got them there when Reggie Theus was still the coach. Now it's Mark Gottfried. But for Seattle U, it's been tough sledding going up there 2 years ago for an 89-76 defeat. And then last year here in Portland, 67-56. Just a tough all-around game in that one. Didn't shoot it that great, 36%. What do you remember from that Seattle U game, as they, again, have a lot of the same guys back on the roster. Miles Carter is the man down low, and then a lot of guys that like to shoot threes around him. Terrell Brown, Morgan Means, Delonte Jones. So tough covers out on the perimeter.
Well, that game, I remember them making threes and us missing them. That's what I remember most about that game. I don't think they turned us over much because it wasn't. I don't think they played that much. You have the stats you could. Tell
15
me.
Turnovers.
That's a lot. That's a lot for us.
But they only scored 13 points off of it, so they didn't get out and run necessarily. Now they committed 16, but the points in the paint, Seattle a 26-22 advantage there, and second chance points. That was a game where actually Al rebounded them, 13-10 on the offensive glass. Just. As you mentioned early, missed a lot of shots, only shot 36% from the floor in that one.
Yeah, I think that hopefully that's what area where I feel we've gotten some improvement this year, where the floor spacing is better and we're able to get out in the open court and get some easy looks. But also in the half court, to have the patience to play inside if we have to, or guys making plays off the bounce and finding guys on the perimeter. And, again, we've been shooting it at a good clip. I don't know if we continue. I don't know why we won't be able to continue that in regards to just finding that rhythm. As long as they're, good rhythm threes, I think our guys will, shoot those at a good clip and have chances to make those type of shots. It's just a matter of us executing our offense, moving with some pace, making hard cuts, and making good decisions. And we've done a great job not turning it over a lot. I mean, all year long, we have not been a team that turned it over a lot. We've been really good at that.
Yeah, just 91 total turnovers, 13 a game, which is a reasonable total. Mm-hmm. Coaches always want to see it down a little bit. But a plus 2.4 turnover margin, a 1.4 assist to turnover ratio there. And shooting 44.6% from three-point range. Isaiah White, JoJo Walker, Malcolm Porter, Takiu LaFerrinson, Jacob Tryon have taken the bulk of the threes, and they are all over 42% so far this season. So when you got five guys all like that that you can space around the floor, so it's not just one or two guys that a defense can key in on, they're shooting enough of them. They've taken they're taking 2 to 3 a game when they have their opportunities, if not more. But that's just when other teams see that on film, it's got to feel good knowing opposing coaches stand up nights going, how are we going to guard all these guys?
Yeah, and that's again, it goes back to our ability to trust each other, trust the pass. And we talked a lot this year about being where you're supposed to be offensively. The spacing is very important to make it more difficult for teams that are rotating, trying to close out, and make it more difficult when you have the spacing properly and get the point on the backside where you have 2 versus 1, two of your better offensive catch and shoot guys against one defender, and really put him in a bind on which way is he going to go. And so that's been the good thing for us. We've been very pleased with our decision making and getting the ball from strong side to weak side and really just trying to attack and play basketball and good spacing. And our bigs just have to continue to do what they've been doing. I would like to see them get more aggressive down there and have a little bit more success. I think their shots are there. We just got to get them to finish at a little bit higher rate around the rim, and that's going to give our offense even that much more potential.
Well, we're looking forward to it too this week, and we're looking forward to trying keeping this thing going. And Chase finally hit a three.
Yeah, Chase did. That's right.
Congratulations, Chase. All right. Thank you so much, Coach. We'll talk to you Wednesday night.
Sounds good, Jason. Thank
Thanks
you.
As always to Jeff Rust, our producer here in studio. Again, 6:30 pregame Wednesday, 7 o'clock tip. They take on Cal State Northridge. That'll do it for us this evening. For head coach Terry Porter, I'm Jason Swigart. Have a very good night.
This has been the Terry Porter Show with the head basketball coach of the Portland Pilots. Tonight's show was brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, by U.S. Bank, Coca-Cola, by Nike, Alaska Airlines, GEICO, by AAA Oregon, and by Orthopedic Plus Fracture Specialists. Join us for University of Portland basketball all season long on 910 ESPN Portland.